I welcome everybody here for coming and spending your time, and I know it's a, you know, an effort for everybody, but I do really appreciate it. Now, I pronounce myself, who doesn't know who I am. I'm John Cummins, President of BPA. And yes, as you heard, I've welcomed you all here. I must announce, though, this meeting is being recorded. For really, the reasons are being really mainly so we don't have to write everything down, and also I don't have to remember everything. It's not good. I'd like to introduce you to my committee here. As Barbara Cummins is secretary, and Joy Salloway is on the committee. Lisa Stratford is our treasurer. Oh, and I've forgotten the man over there. He's on the committee. He's Bill Sanders. So that's how it's a new, whole new committee. I think just give me time here. I'm a shocking writer. Oh, yes, we are looking for a new vice president. So if anybody would like to fill that chair, they can contact me or one of the committee members. I thank you for that. With us today, we have guest speakers. Probably starting with Mike Grounds, who's going to talk on the survey report, questions on notice, and questions from the floor. I'm allowing 10 minutes for that. Next speaker probably will be Senior Constable Michael Coleman from the Queensland Police. Is Michael here? No. He was supposed to attend up, unless he gets called out, I suppose, but we hope he turns up. We've got the upcoming election candidates that are invited to introduce themselves with questions to be directed to them privately after the meeting. I've allowed 3 minutes each to have their little say. And I think I've worked it out to put them in order so this will save time. I'll probably have Michael Weeks first. Joanne Coyne has just said that she's not standing, so she's resigned from that one. Second then will be Gordon Dow. From that way, yes. And then third will be Anne Madden. And then we have Chris Loft and Janine Dean. I think at this stage, who have I missed?
Greg Smith, Janine Dean.
Pardon?
Greg Smith.
Yeah, Greg Smith, yes. I haven't got you down actually, but anyway, yes. I know, yeah, I got Janine, yes, that's done. All right, now, we need to cut this pretty short so it doesn't get long and boredom with it. So I'm going to put you over to probably the secretary to any correspondence or anything else. Then I'll put you over to Lisa for a treasury report. And I think then we'll get down to business with Mike Browns. Is everybody all right with that? Yep.
Hello, sorry. The minutes for the last meeting, because we've only just taken over, I can't find them, so I will find them and rewrite them and then send them out in an email. So that cuts that really short.
Okay, now we've got the opening balance as at the 31st of October 2015 was $375.08. and we've got the closing balance as at the 30th of January 2016 is the same, $375.08. So there's really nothing to report on my end, so nice and short.
Well, next we'll hand you over to Joy, who will give you any correspondence.
The only correspondence that we have for today is from the 11th of January 2016. They are asking for donations to a lot of the Fraser Coast schools, donation being in the way of shoes and socks for the kids for back to school. Now, donations can be made at Albert State School, Bopple, Glenwood, Granville, Howard, Cowungan, Maribor Central, Maribor West, Park, Pyalba, Sandy Strait State School, Tyro, Tanana, Torvenly, Torquay, Yerangan, Yarralee, and any other Fraser Coast children. You can make a donation directly to the school, or better yet, hand in some shoes and socks if you have any available. Thank you.
Have you done? Yeah. Well, I think now I might hand you over to Mike Rounds on survey report.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Grounds. I was the person that organised and did the survey last year. I was considering standing for election. I was aware of the history and the tension in Bopple. I invited all the Bopple groups to come together to make a plan forward. I ran the survey to get the opinion of the masses, not just the group representatives. The survey needed to be anonymous, randomly numbered to prevent fraud, and independent of either of the dominant groups. The content of the survey centred around progress on what the ratepayers wanted from their council. I paid for the printing and distribution myself, and I arranged for the post office to deliver it as unaddressed mail. We asked people to indicate location, as out-of-area deliveries would be inevitable. The post office admitted they made errors, but they guaranteed 240 surveys were correctly delivered to Bopple residents. We received 119 responses, a good return rate at 49.6%. The data collected is available here tonight for all candidates. Anybody is welcome to view it over at that side, and the spreadsheet's there as well. If anybody wants a copy of it, we can arrange that through the cost of a stick and copying it. If anybody wants it that bad, we can probably do that for about $15. Anybody's welcome to go and see it at any time. I have my opinions on solutions for the community, but I stress that's mine. I noted those in my letter published in the Gazette and the Bopple Bulletin. I personally, and that is me personally, don't see a problem with utilising the recreation grounds as originally intended by state law, and in a way that does not impact on the current community's use. I will reiterate that the survey results show a majority of the community want local shops and services. There are legal, amicable ways to resolve issues for the best interests of the majority. There are apparently issues with my survey from a few individuals. I hope I've already answered those issues in regards to the validity of the survey. If anybody has got any questions on the survey, I'm quite happy to answer.
Who is involved in it all? Organising it? The results of it?
What, organising the survey?
Organising, resulting in the
coming of the conclusions. As I said earlier, we invited all groups. It was the people that agreed to come and be involved.
I'm asking you if you was involved,
Mike.
I'm not asking you.
Who was involved? We had one representative from the BPA, that was John Cummins. We'd have other people looking on us from the local area. There was possibly three or four people local from that street. We've had people from, I don't live in Bothwell, but there again, you've also got to remember that we are now the Fraser Coast Council. We're not a Bothwell council. Money that's spent in this area comes from the ratepayers across all of the district. So, we can't just be, you're no longer Bothwell-centric. Anybody that doesn't think that they had an opportunity to be invited, everybody was invited to take part. I don't really feel that I should name each person by person, for being involved.
Mike, you put this on under the proviso that you were going to be a candidate for Division 2. And you did Randall, and so what the heck has Bothwell EPA business got to do with Randall Pearson?
Look, I was considering standing for council. At that stage, there was only, that I knew of, one, maybe two people. We've now got numerous people, a lot of them a lot younger, a lot of probably a lot better qualified. All the information that I've gathered will be given to them. I don't know what your problem is, we're only trying to progress it. But what's the problem with what I've done, Steve?
You just gave us your opinion on the regulations.
Right, now as far as the survey, I'm quite happy to answer any questions on the survey. I just briefly stated my own opinion, and I'm quite happy to talk about that afterwards. As far as this goes, I won't be a part of anybody making any decisions. That will be the incoming mayor and councillors. So I suggest you direct those questions to them. I'm not going to argue about that. That's not my problem.
Look, can I stop this one and let's move on, because that's not going anywhere. If anybody else have questions?
Any other questions on the survey itself? Thank you all very much.
Does everybody in favour of the survey? I think it's a very good, but I have to thank Mike Brown for his time for that. And as you said before, he was going to stand for candidate. That was the reason he'd done this survey, to see what the people of Bothwell wanted and the progress for the town. And I supported him. That's why the BPA was mentioned. And I just think that was a good survey to know what people wanted.
I think it's really important too to know. I understand the gentleman's concerns down the back, but Mike wanting to run for council, but then he's been completely independent, not that living in Bothwell, he's come at a different location on the Fraser Coast, so he doesn't have, there's no conflict of interest for him to run that survey. So I thank Mike for doing that. I think it's really important.
I do too, and I think it's very well done. Well, with that, if we've got no more questions on the survey, we'll move on to our candidates. Yes, Michael, if you'd like to come up, there's a speaker there.
Hello, I'm Michael Weeks. As you probably know, I'm running for Division 2. I'm not a seasoned politician, so I'll keep this reasonably short. My passion is about the community, about community groups and grassroots development. My fear is the council has been very top-down, developer-focused in the past, and this has led to a lot of disillusionment with the council. It's led to a lot of people feeling ignored, a lot of people feeling left out of the process. Some places feel like they don't even know the councillors know the name of their towns. So my passion is to reconnect with the grassroots, with the community groups that are doing fantastic work, with people who are starting businesses, with people who are pushing ideas, with the hardworking volunteers that are already pushing our tourism, and work with these people and give them a lift up to try to do a better job of bringing the region together, to bring the connections between our groups, between our peoples, between our towns, so that we can put a community together that really represents some core values that brings in tourists and really supports some economic development. Now, on some of the main themes I've got, I would very much in this area be pushing for what I'd be calling a community development trust. So what that idea is that we set up a trust that's led by people in this area for those people to make decisions about the money that is spent. This is separate to council. Council helps set this up in the first place, helps get it going, and then steps back from it. Council then can go focus on the roads, focus on the services, focus on advertising the region, while this community development trust is able to invest locally in local groups, in local projects, in local infrastructure, if you like. Not the council infrastructure, but tourism infrastructure, if you like. I know that RVs are incredibly hot topic at the moment, and they divide opinion very strongly as well. One thing that I feel has been incredibly missed out on the RV debate is that there's a lot of people who are mobile but aren't in RVs, are not members of RV clubs, don't want the same things as the members of the RV clubs. And so, yes, there's probably room in the Fraser Coast for an RV club park, but what about all the tourist parks we already have? Why can we not network them together, give incentives, work with them to expand, to improve, and to advertise as a group entity of a Fraser Coast tourist trail, for example? We have people who travel in caravans. We have people who travel and stay in little cabins. It's not all about the RVs. There's a much larger market there for us to tap into. I'm also very, very passionate about the Maribor CBD, and I know this is separate to people who live in Bopple to a certain extent, but as we know, we all spread out and come into Maribor. You know, I was growing up as a kid on a bit of a hobby farm. You know, you go into town. Into town from every direction was Maribor. It was a central point of services. It was a place to go shopping. It was a place to go to the specialist. It was a place to do everything you needed to do. It makes me really sad. It honestly makes me really sad right now, the way that Maribor is as a town and the CBD. It looks pretty because we've spent a whole lot of money on it, but if you sit there and look at it, you will see the people walking through town who don't have jobs, who clearly have some drug problems. You see nice cars driving through town that are clearly tourists that aren't stopping because they see the people walking around the streets. So there's a lot of things that we need to do to work on developing the economy within Maribor and within each of the little towns around it to bring it all together. I've got an endless list of ideas, and I have them on my website, but I would encourage anyone who wants to talk about any specific issues to come and talk to me about it. Really could spend hours just sitting down with someone and chatting, and I'm probably more comfortable in this situation anyway. Any questions?
I've actually got a question, because I'm actually American.
I know your shop, yes?
Yes. And you're saying nobody comes into town. Well, I'm actually going to
comply with us.
I will, because I run a cafe.
Yes, I understand your shop, yes.
I have four people working every day.
It's a very busy
Thursday,
shop, I understand.
I have six, yes. So I don't have time.
That's not what I said. I said I see tourists going past and not stopping. I see empty shops in town. I know your shop's incredibly successful. My feeling, and from what I've seen, is your shop's incredibly successful with the locals. Okay.
I actually have tourists that have come up the last 15 years, and every year they come into my shop. And they actually say, "Come back to my shop because the service that you see, if anything needs to be on." Customer service.
Oh, I agree, yes, absolutely.
All
Yes, so if you want to understand that one fully, what I want to do is cut all the rates and fees for CBD businesses, and then I want to charge the people who own empty spaces that haven't got them there because the rents are too high, and have a marketing levy on that. So the only thing you'd end up paying, and give a rebate to anyone who's owning, operating an active shop.
Okay, so I'm the landlord. So I've actually been the only tenant for the last 8 months. Yeah, we have probably improved the business by 200% for what we're going to have to pay.
Yes.
So you're going to disadvantage him because he doesn't have tenants. If you're going to charge him because he doesn't have tenants in his shop.
Yeah, do you understand the logic behind it though?
What's the logic?
Well, the logic is, if you give someone an incentive, okay, so you've got lots of empty shops, there's lots of people who own shops who don't even live locally in some of the cases. If there's an incentive to get someone in there, they're going to take someone in there for a small rent to start with until they can get higher rents. The rents are stuck too high.
Can I interrupt you here? Have you actually talked to the landlords? Have you talked to our landlord where he actually is offering 6 months, 12 months free rent to get people in?
Look, I understand that they offer that, but then it still jumps up to a higher rate because that's how commercial property is valued. I'm happy to talk to you separately because this is...
Sorry to interrupt you, Michael.
That's all right, I'll
time
I'll
is up. And,
thank you.
No, and we might continue this conversation between yourselves after the meeting.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Who we got? Gordon. You can go, come up.
Can everyone hear me there? Thanks for everyone coming out tonight into the rain here today. It's great to have this community group here getting out and trying to support the candidates coming and also the mayoral debates and the mayoral race here, which is going to be a very hotly fought after one. I started out probably in 2000 where I came to Maribyrnong, bought an old shop similar to Mark Bromett and Yolandi, and they have probably done it pretty hard. The demographics around here is fairly ordinary. It's very hard to make a business run well. I took my little shop from 60 customers a day to 600 customers a day, with an average spend starting out at $2.50 to $13.50. So I started to make pretty good money. To make that sort of money, you really need to have a good demographics, a good shop, and a very good business plan. So I'm not going to go too much longer on why you haven't got a shop. I think a shop can be run here, but it has to have everything. It has to have post office, it's got to have pizzas, it's got to have everything you can open and shut in that shop. You've got to have good customer service, and you've got to work very bloody hard. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Then you'll start to make some money. I think here in Boppel, I think it can be done. I'd like to see it be done. I'll be the first one to put my hand up to support all those people that are trying to make this town alive. It is a beautiful place, and it really needs every little bit of effort from every person in the community to make this place run. I think in time it will happen, whether it's the Bromets or somebody else, a commercial block will be sold here, someone will do something. So I want to see a little bit of hope for the people here. I think the RV market is still a very hot topic. There's 2,000 to 3,000 RVs driving right past your doorway at this moment, every day. If you had a pub or a shop or anything like that, you're going to bring them in. If you had some sort of tourist, a business of some kind, you're going to bring them in. Yes, exactly, exactly. I do find that the council has put a few blocks in place. Your councillor, for instance, isn't even here today, which I find very sad. I think you should have a councillor here, hearing the community. I've done me little door knocks around the place. I've talked to everybody. I hear all the stories. I know exactly what's going on here. I wish you all the best. If you get me in as council, I would love to put an ambulance station out around this area. We're still not sure where the location is. I've been working with the state member since about September last year, and he's getting quite enthusiastic about it. We've got to get on and start growing little Boppel here because it's a bloody beautiful place, and I wish you all the best. Thank you.
550 vans that have stopped here. Now, I stopped counting them probably a couple of months ago. And I speak to these, all these people themselves. Because I'm one of these very nomads too. I've been all around the country a lot. And one thing that they've spoken to me about is a little shop. Where's the shop? Where's the shop?
That's right.
They said they don't stay there. They said we can get a shop there. They said the talk will sound as if this place would go miles ahead and it would.
That's exactly right. Most RVers with the clubs and everything like that around Australia will not try and put an RV base into an area where there's no shop. If there's no pub or no shop, they just simply won't go there. They'll go to the next town. The next free RV site is only just down the road, and that's where they go. So for you guys to open up an industry here, I don't know if the museum could try and put something on the back of their museum until a shop can function here. I'm not sure. I still think the council has to play a much bigger role here and go from there. Because once you get that tourism, you're going to get activity, you're going to get everybody starting to feel better about the whole place.
They planted all these trees over there, 90% of them are dead. I go over to the all the time, and I'm the one that mows the lawn and tries to get them off it. Council's been out here probably twice in the last 5 months and made it all.
That's right. I think the representation is really poor. But anyway, there's your community spirit. It's all here. It just needs a little fire put under its belly, and away you go. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Gordon. Anne, would you like to come up?
Good afternoon. My name's Anne Madden. I was under the impression that we had 3 minutes and also that questions. Can't hear me? Better? Okay. My name's Anne Madden, and I was told that we had 3 minutes, so I've written a speech because I've got a lot to say. Very often when we're asked to do something, in the back of our mind is, what is the benefit to me? Today, I'm asking you to vote for me as your councillor. What is the benefit to you? In the near 3 years I was a member of State Parliament, I was constantly approached by constituents frustrated with the actions of council. And from those approaches, the major issues I have identified and which need addressing are 1, inequity and unfairness in the rating system. 2, properties side by side with a very small difference in size, yet a rates bill which differs by around $100. And that's only one example. Okay. The constantly increasing rates bills. Council must learn to live within its means, just as we do in our household budgets. That means we don't have fancy $50 million sports precincts. Council can't continually gouge rates from ratepayers without considering their capacity to pay. We can end up rating them out of their homes. Openness and accountability. Over the last few weeks, if you've been watching the media, it has become obvious that councillors are not being given all the information they need to make decisions. And the way the council is currently run, constituents very often don't know how councillors vote and the reasons for their vote. And that must change. Openness and accountability will bring respect, something which is sadly lacking at this time. Respect for the opinion of ratepayers, be it expressed in the form of a petition, as in the de-amalgamation, in other forums, as with the sports precinct, and locally, the survey carried out by Mike Grounds. Council must respect those opinions, address the issues raised, and come to a resolution which is favoured by the majority. Council must again connect with its various communities, particularly the outlying areas, and to that end, I propose that a fully trained council liaison officer be reinstated to work from Tyro as it was under the as it was agreed at the time of amalgamation, and that our other areas be visited on a regular basis to provide a local service to ratepayers. How can I contribute to dealing with these matters if elected? I'm fortunate that I have a set of skills from my previous two jobs, one as a property valuer and one as a state member. My training covers areas such as accounting, town planning, economics, land law, and my work in the Parliament covered areas of processes, oversight of committees, contacts with state and federal governments, and also in the area of grants applications. Finally, your survey, or Mike's survey, indicates that the majority of people in this community are seeking to have a shop. This will only happen if there is an economic base to support that shop. And the economic base in this area is agriculture and tourism. We must open up the RV tourism. More sites, more signs, more advertising, both here and in Maryborough. At this point, this is the only chance that I can see that will provide the economic base needed. I make my commitment to you that I will work on all of these issues on your behalf. You're not taking questions now. Sorry? You're not taking questions now. I'll do the questions afterwards.
And anybody wants to talk to you after the meeting.
Yep, I'll take any questions afterwards.
Craig, did you want to speak about something? I'm sorry, what you are a candidate for Division 2 or Mayor? Mayor, right, please get up, yes.
Yeah, I'm Greg Schmidt from Tanana. My background, I'm a farmer till I was 30. Then I went into Holden spare parts. Then a photographer for the Little Herald newspaper in Maryborough for 4 years. And for the last 12 years, I've been in civil construction, road building, and fairly major at that. My view to council, the reason I stood up for it, I've been asked since 2000, because I've had to go since back then, is to bring the rates down, because they've, through the eyes of a construction worker, if we traded the same way that council trade, we would have been broke years ago. I would like to bring construction, just in rate savings is where I'm coming from. I'm not for my main focus, just for today, is to save money. It's not to waste money or offer. I can save roadworks just in itself and garbage by pulling all of the contracts that it dished out to clients back under council's care. So they actually use subcontractors, call in if you need them, rather than paying overheads in the council and overheads with contractors. And then if the council run those contracts, they then supply all the materials, which doesn't incur another 10-20% profit on top of the purchase price. Just a rough guess, there's 2.3% straight off the rates in that area alone. But council need to take that back. The other side, but I'm not going to talk about, I talked with Yolandi a couple of days ago about the service station. I took her points on board, and I took a couple of the locals' points on board down in Tyro, and there seemed to be somewhat a them and us involved in that. There really needs to be a sit down. You can't say today, right here now, that I'm going to offer this or I'm going to offer that. But that shop does have to open. It is important that shop opens, because the school has to have more kids in it. The town has to have more people in it. The empty houses have to have people in them. And then you need another school teacher back here. What I'm asking, when you choose to vote, if you don't choose me, you choose someone that can offer you what suits you. Your divisional councillor for each division. Choose a councillor that isn't involved in a team. Because when you vote in a team, you are going to vote in exactly the same thing that's happening right now. It'll be unanimous. There'll be no argument. There are some really good candidates out there, and I recommend that you look at your divisional candidates. I stand for rates down, and with rates down, the council can spend some more rather than just cutting costs. You can put more money from those savings onto smaller projects like you have out here. I'll close at that, but no, I won't. Most importantly, if you could just choose a councillor divisional candidate that is not in a team, you will get your best value. I'll take questions.
Is there any questions?
Can you, microphone.
Can you please tell me where the Fraser Coast begins?
Okay, the Fraser Coast begins just out here at Glenwood. You go out Biggenden Road, it finishes just this side of the train line. You go out to the Bruce Highway, past Torben Lee out to a place past Pig Creek. The boundary is out there. How many other directions do you want to go?
I just want to know that you all know where we are.
I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where you are. I'll expand on that where I'm at. I've, in my roadworks, from the closest job here in the region is the companies that I've worked for is from the Glenorchy Strait right into the Country Stopover Caravan Park. That was 12 years ago when that was upgraded, where the overtaking lanes were put in between 6 mile and 5 mile road on your way into town. I'd done both stages of Torben Lee roundabout on the Hovey Bay Road. I designed the traffic management for that. So I drew the plans and I implemented all of the traffic design for that, and we saved millions. We wrote traffic controllers out of the equation where possible. So if you did a shoulder closure, you just didn't hire three traffic controllers to come and do a job. Three traffic controllers will cost you $1,500 for three controllers and one ute. That's close to proportion of some of your folks' rates here. So 1 year's rates will pay for a ute with three fellas instead of putting hats along the side of the road. And I could go on and on and on, but that's the direction where I wish to save money. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. I think next now is Chris, please.
Thank you all for coming out on this rainy day. I just, John Myers is a personal friend of mine, and I asked John to do a description of me. I could tell you about me, and like any politician, you mightn't believe it. It's probably better coming from a third party. And you'd all know that John Myers started the Dale and Myers timber mill out in Tyro. He got up to employing 350 people and won a business award in Queensland. So he's and he now owns the Military Museum in Maryborough. So who is Chris Loft? Chris has over 30 years as a small business consultant and accountant under his belt, and has now served a 4-year apprenticeship as a councillor with the Fraser Coast Regional Council. Studying, learning and witnessing a very badly run business that turns millions of dollars in potential investment away from our region every year. He's adamant the biggest priority is to get the business of council in order before the region can forge ahead. And his common sense approach and back to basics message will get operations humming and ensure the Fraser Coast is on every new industry list to bring new jobs and prosperity. The Fraser Coast is made up of three very different economies. However, with better leadership, Hervey Bay, Maryborough, and the surrounding farming country can complement each other and work as a strong united force. It's time to join our region instead of pitting areas against each other. Chris Loft is the only mayoral candidate who has the knowledge, ability, and previous council experience to implement the necessary changes. It's time for a new leader and common sense to come to the fore. And I'd like to think that John is a wise man. So just in the areas that have absolutely disappointed me enormously, having served the 4 years, is the wastage of money and the lack of consultation with councillors. It has been run by basically the mayor and an inner circle of trust, and very rarely do we, who are successful business people, let me brag, get any input. And I mix in with that Councillor Rolf Light and also Councillor James Hansen, myself and George Seymour. And although we might be on different ends of a political scale with George, I find him absolutely passionate, knowledgeable and a very balanced person. That's the sort of debate that we need to have in the council chamber. Now, my plan is that each councillor will be like the mayor of their division, and then they bring the decision of the community to the table where all 10 councillors and the mayor listen. And from that, hands go up or hands go down, and then we move on from there. So that's the way it can be run. It's a lot more consultation. there'll be a lot more time with the councillors listening to staff, but also listening to their local councillor. Now, the structure of council will be understanding committees. So in other words, the various sections of council will be divided up, a couple of councillors in each of the divisions, and then according to the portfolio or the passion or the interest or the knowledge that each councillor has, that'll be added into it. So it'll be a well-structured, plenty of input from the councillors, and we will not be wasting money. Foolish spending. And I tell you, as I've raised my hand to be the mayor, I've found there's a heap of what I call golden gurus here, which are people my age and above who have a wealth of experience in so many areas, like engineers, agriculture, environment and level-headed environment people, on assisting the low socioeconomics. There is a million people out, sorry, that's an exaggeration. There is a lot of people that we have that we can tap from those, and I call that the golden gurus. That's what we need to do, rather than them sitting watching the tide come in and out, particularly in Hervey Bay. The wastage of money, I could go on and on and on, but the big waste of money, and I'm yet to have one person to come to me to say it's a good idea, is the $10 million investment in a $50 million sports precinct, which is located in Hervey Bay. Now, I can tell you from the records that I've studied the finances, I'm an accountant and have been for 30 years, the lack of support of the small organisations, the small existing sporting organisations in the future budget is zero for the next 10 years. So there was allocated, the year before was $150,000 every year to fix up the smallish things around for all the sporting facilities that we have. That was completely wiped to zero, and there was $10 million planted in for the next 2 years. So that's just one example. There's another one that the mayor has not been honest about is a new council chamber, we call it the Taj Mahal, which is going to be established in Hervey Bay, and that's about another $10 or $12 million. He won't put a cost on it. The millions of dollars that is being burdened on you, the ratepayer, for the dreams and visions of the mayor and the CEO and an inner circle of trust is horrific. Generally, when you're going to do a big project, you'll only do it if there's state and federal funds. That's how you do it. So if we were getting, say it was the $10 million project, you'd be looking for $3 million from the state, $3 million from the feds, and then it's $4 million from the locals. We have a terrible reputation now. We did have with the LNP, and Anne would be able to vouch for that, and now we've got it with the ALP, where they're not in favour of the sports precinct. I could go on and on and on. So, and just quickly, I'm all about decentralisation. I'm wanting staff coming back out to the regions. So if you read in my little newsletter, it's about decentralising. I believe staff are the most important asset any business has. And unfortunately, great staff have been driven away from the Fraser Coast Council. I have a vision for agriculture, and I know how to balance the books. So, and it's all about good governance. So I will unfurling some more projects as the time rolls on, as we get closer to the election day. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Janine, please.
Okay, the first thing I want to address is community consultation. This has been very lacking with this council, and we've all got the big back of the hand, and 11 people have been making decisions for over 100,000 people. Personally, I don't think that's right, and I'm sick to death of it. Even to the point where I've tried to submit a an opposing letter to the sports precinct with nearly 400 signatures, and a further petition with in excess of 3,000 signatures, and the current council decided that it was their right to take a vote to see whether they would even accept those in the first place, to even possibly consider. So our democratic right just goes straight out the door. So we don't have a say. So I think that is absolutely absurd. So, following on for that, when we come to the council meetings, I would like to video streamline them so everybody that has internet access can watch them from the comfort of their home. They can watch it in their place of business if they're allowed to, if their boss permits it, or it can be uploaded to the website and people can view it at their leisure at another time. This will allow the community to observe body language, listen to tone, see how council actually interacts with each other and whether they're being proactive instead of having a negative impact for our communities down the track. So then you can become involved, we can get our youth involved, and we can engage them because they're going to be our future leaders. So it is that I would like to see us utilising all this modern technology to the best of our ability, because it's what we leave for future generations to come that is so important. All right, I have a plan too for sustainability and affordable living. I think the current council's approach, if that was the right way, we wouldn't still have the highest unemployment statistics, high rates, and high crime that we currently do have. If that was on my watch, I would be so ashamed, and that they can just keep putting it in the Guinness Book of Records, because we're not going anywhere fast. So clearly that approach is wrong. So we need new leadership with a new approach, with real vision, with actual determination to create long-term jobs by bringing industry here and embracing agritourism and all the rest. So the more that we talk to each other and the more that you get your voices heard, the more action we'll get. So it comes down to all of you to really approach every candidate and ask the tough questions. Even the current incumbents, ask them, why are they having briefings on the Monday and making decisions and voting, but then it's not recorded in the minutes on the Wednesday? How they came to that decision? You know, ask them about the Tuggum Rockwall fiasco. You know, these councillors are voting on everything to do with everything across the entire Fraser Coast. 86 towns and regional localities, and only we're hearing about Hervey Bay. Occasionally we might hear about Maryborough. They're wasting money on upgrading parks that have nothing wrong with them. It's absolutely ridiculous. I am sick of this wasteful spending and this arrogance and these bullying tactics from this current council. So it's time for change and it's time to tell them to move on. Okay, I've got lots to say. I can talk about absolutely any issue, and I'm across a lot of them because I've attended nearly every council meeting.
I've just allowed you another 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you. All right, the FCO, Fraser Coast Opportunities. I really don't see the purpose in that. We spend $2.6 million of ratepayers' money on wages. $2.6 million. Then council gives them another budget for $500,000. Then I'm hearing they're getting more money. And then there's more subsidies going to them. Yet they're not making a profit. They're not targeting the right marketing strategy as far as I'm concerned. And look, my mind boggles with that. It's just making me angry thinking about it. So we really need to have a conversation about whether FCO is viable, because in my personal opinion, I don't think it is. I also want to address the senior executive team and their management and the positions and the salaries. I think we're too top heavy and not enough little Indians making council very efficient as it should be. Like, it takes them sometimes 28 days to answer an email, and I'm still waiting 4 months for a couple of responses. So, and then it'll just be gobbledygook anyway. It won't be anything of any substance. So I've just wasted my time trying to find out the right information because they won't disclose it either. So that's very frustrating when we're supposed to have a transparent and accountable council. Now, I want to open it up. I want to review everything. I want to put it on the table and say, this is what we've got. This is where we what we've got to work with. Every single community should, it should be fair and equitable for everybody. So I want to see that happen so that Puna gets its fair share, Maroon, Antigua, you know, everybody. We all have value and we all matter, and it's about time we got a council that realised that and acted on that. So, on to something. I'm not even going to talk about the sports precinct because it's not even worth the conversation. As far as I'm concerned, it can just get scrapped. Good investment for the land, so I will talk about it, sorry. Two blocks of land were purchased, $797,000 or something like that, was it, Chris? Then for one, the smaller block, then there's the bigger block, $1.8 million. So then we've got a budget, and every time I hear the budget, it's 50, 52, 54. We're currently at 56. Now we've got a separate budget for planning and design, which was a secret squirrel one, along with the $28,000 document, plus business cards, $1,500, and glossy brochures. Maryborough has 50-year surplus sporting facilities. So in Hervey Bay, I would like to see revisit the plan that were that I was actually involved in 2000, and where we cut off Tavistock Street and have a mall where the kids safely crossed from one side, from one oval to the other. But and then we've got all these school grounds. Why aren't we utilising them? They all the ratepayers are paying school fees. You know, they're all investing in these sporting facilities. So we should be looking at things like this and working together and coming together as a community. Rather than, and then maybe down the track, yeah, we do need to look at further sporting facilities for Hervey Bay, but let's think about dual purpose. Let's have it an entertainment centre so everybody can enjoy it. But then we've got all the other communities. Bopple could probably do with something here. You know, Tanana might want something for sport. You know, we need to encourage all children from all locations to get involved before our obesity levels rise.
A pool.
A pool. You want a pool, Sandy? At Gundaya. So, all right. But anyway, if you want to talk to me about anything, please don't hesitate. I'm quite approachable, and I'll tell you how I see it. You might not agree, and I might not agree with you, but I'm very happy to have the conversation so that everybody's heard. So I'll just leave it at that, and thank you for coming out today. Oh, and Bopple is an amazing place. I've met some beautiful people here. I've spent a bit of time here, in particular over the last 6 months. And if you want to come to me with what you want for Bopple, I will do it. My very best to make sure that that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think that just about closes all business for today. We are going to stop and have some refreshments, and if you want to talk to candidates and mingle around, ask questions, go for it. So, I'd like to thank you all for coming this afternoon, and the candidates especially. I'd like to give my good thanks to Mike Grounds for the work he's put in at the cost. You're always sinking to your stomach, aren't you?
John.
Yeah, but I'd like to thank Mike Grounds for the work he's put in this survey. At the time, the effort, and the cost, he's done it all himself. I think it was a great thing to do. I'd like to thank Peter for his hungry stomach and the audio he's done for us, and all the people that have done the great job of supporting the BPA. I really appreciate it. So I think I will close now. Meeting closed. Yes. Anybody want to say anything?
The most divisive issue in Bopple is the school playground issue. Okay.
and it's no closer to being settled, is it? It's still going on, you know, like year after year now. We've got candidates here who, you know, are running for council. Most of them know the issues here. You spoke in the field. I think it's only fair of the candidates let us know, while residents, what their viewpoint is on the issue before.
I think probably that might be a good point, but I don't know we can rectify what the past is, but I don't know if you want to add to that, Janine, at all. But I'm not sure whether you've got the, or Gordon wants to do this.
I don't mind having a chat at any time. The rec ground has a lease on it, a legal lease. The state government has gone and got involved quite heavily with it to try and see if they can do any adjustments to that lease. Mark Brommett's worked pretty hard to try and make that lease more available to RVs. At the moment, you have a legal lease, and that's the difficult part. You just can't go in there with bulldozers and do what you like. So it's almost a non-event because you can't make something happen there. I think it goes till about 2021 or 2019 or something like that.
Look, I might just refer this to Anne. I think.
I spent a lot of time working on this when I was a state member, and I got a lot of advice from the departmental officers who are independent of here and were looking at that lease. And the advice that I got, as best I can understand it, is that that lease is not legal. It breaks some of the conditions so that the rec grounds are a recreation reserve owned by the state and put into trusteeship of the council. And it's for recreation purposes, and RVs are considered to be part of the recreation purposes. And the advice that I'm getting, or that I got back at that time, was that they believe that the lease is in breach and would need to be renegotiated. So that's... No, it hasn't happened because there was a change of government. And it was also a long and considered process, and they needed... We were just about at the point where the department was going to go and talk to council staff to see if we could resolve the issue amicably and in the best interests of everybody. But to say the lease is legal, I think is questionable at this point in time.
Thank you.
The answer is in that statement. If it's not legal, it can be changed. If it's legal, it can't. So based on a state member at the time, you would have to agree that that lease would not be legal.
That's the best advice I have. I would question the other though. If you do have a lease and two parties can come to an agreement, it can be adjusted. So it's just really a case of getting an agreement.
It's about public transport in this town. Has there ever been a survey done to see whether a bus can come through here once a day, pick up people, take them to Maryborough and bring them back? I haven't had this meeting for nothing yet. Would you be interested in it?
Sorry, this comes with having been the state member, so you get to get a few issues. I don't believe there's been a survey as such, but can I say in all of the outlying areas in the electorate, and that includes places like Burham Heads, there is always the demand for a bus service because people can't get from point A to point B. I know I had a lot of conversations about bus services between Tyro and Maryborough. It is actually, it's not really a council issue. It's a state government issue, and it basically comes down to money. How much money do you guys want to pay in taxes to get that service? Because I can tell you that the bus services, even in town, where you've got a much more concentrated population base, are very, very heavily subsidised by the state government. And the second thing is the guys that run those bus services will tell you they are barely making ends meet, even with all that subsidy. So, lovely idea, completely agree. But it comes down to this everlasting issue of how much money and how much rates and tax do you want to pay? And none of us want to pay it. However, I think there, and this is something I've been mulling over for quite some time, there's possibly a capacity where we could work something which would allow some kind of a ride share, so something along the lines, and I believe if I got into council we could probably facilitate it, but a case of somebody saying, I've got to go to town to Maryborough tomorrow, I'm going to be there between 9 and 3, I've got a couple of spare seats, does anybody need a ride into town? And it may be a case of someone just saying quietly, well, here's $5 towards your petrol. There would be some legal issues to deal with in that, but it's the only way that I can see that we can start to get some of our people from out these areas who are getting older, who don't have cars, who need doctor's appointments, in and out of town as easily as possible. Something I'd like to follow through on if I've given the opportunity.
Right, I think we're going to call it to a close now.
In response to the comment that an agreement had been met between the two parties. Did you say that there, as an agreement had been met between the two parties, that the RV
party? No.
An agreement has to be made between the two parties.
You can change the lease if you can get agreement. And I mean, that's the same with any legal contract. If you get agreement between the parties, you can change the conditions. That hasn't been done. And as far as I'm understanding at this point in time, that lease doesn't meet the legal requirements as to the use of the site for recreational purposes as set out by the state government in its trusteeship to the council. So there's obviously a major issue when I've had governmental officers working on it for months on end trying to get to the bottom of it.
It's still never going to happen, so it can't be done.
Gordon, it can be done and it was about to be done. You can't just barge in and do these things willy-nilly, chop, chop. You've got to go through the process and make sure you're following the rules properly. No, it is not. As my understanding is, no, it is not legal.
It is legal.
My understanding from the state government officers who've looked at this issue is it does not comply and therefore it is not legal. Now, it will need to be, it was in the process of being further investigated, and I'm telling you that's my understanding of it at this point. And that decision and that information came out of a government department, so it had nothing to do with council or anybody here. It was purely on a legal basis.
And last week I was told it was illegal.
Okay. All right. None of these candidates can do anything about that lease anyway. What I want to ask is, I want a show of hands, who wants the rec grounds here? Who wants them here? Yeah, but who wants them? Because I hear different stories from different people, so let's have a show of hands of how many people actually want an RV site here. I know, who wants to keep it then? Who wants to keep it then? Yeah, that's in the middle of the town. Okay, let me get that.
Steve, right. Steve, can you please leave this, Janine? Thank you.
All right. Yeah, but I am aware of all the issues surrounding it, and I know that there's contentious conversation going on about the rec grounds for RV camping. But then again, we've got that lease. So then again, we can't do anything about that until we get elected into council so that we can get the majority, and the majority should rule on this. It's not about individual people and individual groups. It's not about, I blame the council for causing the division in Bopple, because their communication skills were very poor, because they've divided this instead of uniting everybody to get to a common ground where everybody's going to benefit and Bopple can grow so that you can have a shop. See, for goodness sake, it's the home of the macadamia nut. We should be embracing that in our tourism. You know? What did I say? Bopple nut. Bopple nut. Well, there, I've gone a bit nuts today. What do you expect? But I think that we need a bigger conversation about this. Yeah, but not everybody's had their say because other people get talked over the top of. Not everybody is getting heard. People are being bullied, intimidated here. So that's not fair. Well, and then people are scared to speak up. So how is that right? That's not right.
Thank you, Denise.
Are you in favour of people pushing for a free campground for outside primary school?
Steve, can you ask this afterwards? We're going to stop now, close.
I can't be in favour or not in favour of it because it's got to be a possibility to begin with.